It is that time again. Time for the Pop-Off Radio Show. Hope you're having a good day, good evening. It was Veterans Day today, and, you know, it's a special time. Let's be honest about it. It's a very, very special time. So hope you celebrated it. Hope you said something like thank you for your service to a soldier or someone who has been a soldier, maybe retired, whatever. Special time because it allows us to do what we're doing right now, talking about all kinds of subjects, and that's going to be Pop-Off tonight. A little bit later on, Steve Snyder is going to be joining us. His dad was a pilot in World War II. He actually flew the B-17, the Great Fortress. They used to call it the Fortress. And has he got stories to tell? And it's a perfect day for doing that. But before
back to World War II and the experience of being inside the 8th Air Force and the air war over Europe. Now, it was all about Steve Snyder's dad, pilot Howard Snyder, and the crew of the B-17 bomber plane, Susan Ruth. Perfect for Veterans Day, and Steve tells his dad's story and the incredible experiences that that crew had. Now, Steve tells that story in his book called Shot Down. Steve, what a pleasure to have you with us on this special day.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
You know, just mentioning, this is about 3 years ago, I guess, I actually had the opportunity to fly in a B-17 bomber. It was extraordinary what these men had to do in these small spaces and make sure that they, you know, were accurate, that they were, you know, carrying the bombs. It was just incredible, that, you know, the experience itself. And the fumes from the gas was incredible, too. Have you ever been up in a B-17?
Yes, I've been up a couple times, and it's a thrill of a lifetime. It's definitely a bucket list thing to do, as you said. Anyone who's not been inside a B-17 has no idea how cramped they are,
yeah,
and narrow, and how little space there is in those planes.
And crawling through these little holes to the different levels, it was just unreal. I'll never forget that. Anyway, so let's get to this. Your dad was a pilot, and you relate the stories to what your dad, now, did your dad tell this, or was you recounted by doing research?
Well, it's all the story is all based on firsthand testimony by the people who were involved in the events that took place.
Okay.
Crew members that a B-17 had a 10-man crew. Five of my dad's crew made it home, but five of them did not.
Oh, boy.
So the surviving crew members, members of the Belgium underground, even the Luftwaffe fighter pilot that shot down my dad's plane. So I had an unbelievable wealth of information in order to write the book.
Wow.
The only thing I added to it was just a lot of historical information and anecdotes about and surrounding the war to put it in the context and give it background.
Now, did your dad survive?
Yes. Fortunately my dad was one of the five who survived, or else I wouldn't be here.
Well, you never know. I mean, that's the reason I had to ask.
Yeah, after when the plane was attacked by two German Focke-Wulf fighters, two of the crew were killed in the plane. The other eight bailed out successfully. And then different things happened to each one of those men, and the book goes into detail about what happened to each guy. You know, some of them became prisoners of war. Some of them evaded capture. Some of them were killed. After my dad bailed out, he was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded capture by the Germans through the aid of Belgian patriots who hit him. And then he finally got tired of hiding, and he decided to join the French resistance and started sabotaging German convoys.
Oh, my gosh.
And then finally, 7 months after bailing out, he met up with U.S. troops that had come up through France after D-Day and got back to England.
Amazing. That is amazing. The story of the courage of these men, bailing out into enemy territory, not knowing what was going to happen when they got down there. But they did their job, no matter what. I mean, they just forged forward.
Absolutely. You know, every time they went up, they knew that that could be the last time. You know, lots of their friends were killed on those missions. There were 26,000 men killed in the 8th Air Force during World War II.
Wow.
Which is more than the entire Marine Corps fighting in the Pacific.
Wow. Well, the B-17, I mean, it was
the real carrier for World War II, but it was also the most vulnerable, wasn't it?
Well, in Europe, the B-17 Flying Fortress, it was called, and then the B-24 Liberator, those were the two heavy bombers that fought the air war over over Europe. And the Flying Fortress, it was, well, the B-17 was called a Flying Fortress because of the armament on the plane. They had 13 50-caliber machine guns that could put out a tremendous amount of firepower.
Mm-hmm.
And then the B-17 could also take a tremendous amount of battle damage and keep flying.
But, again, I mean, to know all the, you know, everyone was out to get them because, obviously, they were the heavyweight. They were the ones that could make a difference.
Yeah, that flying combat was brutal. Those planes weren't pressurized back then, so above 10,000 feet, they had to go on oxygen, or else they'd pass out in a couple minutes and die. Also, it was extremely cold. It was minus 40 to 60 degrees below zero, so frostbite was a huge problem in those planes, and many airmen were hospitalized for lengthy periods of time with serious frostbite injury.
Amazing.
And then, like you alluded to, you know, they had to face enemy fighters both going to the target and coming home from the target.
Yeah.
And then when they got to the target, the Germans had anti-aircraft fire.
From the ground, yeah.
Yeah, from the ground. So it was a brutal undertaking. Besides losing 26,000 men, the 8th Air Force also had 26,000 airmen that became prisoners of war after their bombers were knocked out of the sky.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. It's an incredible story. Did your dad talk about it at all, you know, in your later years? Or usually you find that people from World War II didn't talk much about their experience.
Exactly. And my dad was like that, too. He didn't talk very much about it. When I was growing up, I knew the basics of World War II history, but it wasn't until 1989 when a memorial was erected to my dad and his crew in the little village of Mackenwas, Belgium, near where the plane came down. And my dad and the three other crew members that were still living at the time went over for the dedication of the memorial. And there he was reunited with all these Belgian people that hid him from the Germans and visited all these places where he was hidden, and that brought it all back, and he started talking about it after that.
Amazing. Now, how did they name the plane Susan Ruth?
Well, my dad was the first pilot, and as such, he was the commander of the plane and the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And the plane was named after my oldest sister, who was 1 year old at the time that my dad went overseas.
So her name was
Susan Ruth Snyder was her name.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so you also talked to the pilot that actually shot the plane down. What did he tell you?
Well, that was, I think, one of the most exciting moments in my life when I found the German pilot, Hans Berger, is his name, because I thought I would. All my dad knew and all the Air Force knew was that two German fighters attacked the plane and shot it down. But I found Hans Berger, and fortunately for me, became a translator after the war and speaks perfect English.
Oh.
And he gave me some wonderful insight that's in the book about what it was like to go up against the 8th Air Force. He said it was, you know, unfortunate they had to be shooting at each other. But it was war, and actually the gunners on my dad's plane shot Hans down at the same time that he shot my dad's plane down. So they shot each other down.
Oh, my gosh. So he survived, obviously, but that's incredible.
Yes.
What did he say? I mean, what was his feeling, his emotion, going back that many years?
Well, it was going up against the 8th Air Force was a mighty task, and he said he was scared to death every time he went up. You know, he was pretty much just like the U.S. airman. He was just a young guy, 19, 20 years old, fighting for his country and trying to do a job. You know? And he said, you know, as I said, as he told me, you know, it was unfortunate they had to be shooting at each other, but he said we weren't all evil Nazis. You know, he was just doing a job. And it's interesting that of all the people that are involved in the shot down story, all the airmen, all the Belgian people, Hans Berger is the only one that's still living. He's 98 years old now.
No kidding. Oh, my gosh. Do you ever keep touch with him?
Oh, yeah. We've become friends. I felt a real kind of affinity or kinship towards Han, because World War II is the defining moment in my father's life. And at one point in time, my father's life and Han's life crossed paths.
Mm-hmm.
And so Han's is just part of my dad's story, part of his life. And I've been over to Munich, Germany, where Han's lives, and, met him a few times, and we've become friends. So the last time I saw him was in 2019. I'm not sure when I'll get back to Germany again, and I'm not sure how much longer Hans will be with us, but it'd be great to see him one more time at least.
This pandemic has, caused a lot of problems for people to be able to meet or to, at least face-to-face. At least you can Zoom or, talk to him that way. That's good.
It's a little hard to talk to him on the phone. At 98, he's hard of hearing.
Ah, okay.
And although, he actually started a language translator school, so he can speak English very well, but now at his age, it's getting more difficult for him to kind of, go back and forth between German and English.
So sure.
Talking over the phone is kind of it is challenging.
Oh, that's too bad. Now, you are there any others still alive from the crew, or you say they're all gone now?
No, they're all gone. My dad died in 2007.
Uh-oh.
He wasn't the last crew member to die, but he was the oldest at 91. All the World War II veterans are in their mid-90s or hitting 100 these days.
Yep.
At the end of the war, there were 16 million World War II veterans, and there's only about 2% or so of those men still with us. So we're losing them at a rapid pace.
I'm so glad you're telling the story, though, because, like I said, unfortunately, they didn't talk about it very much. And, those stories are all going to be gone. And so you're chronicling something very important.
Well, I think so. Actually, since writing the book, it's changed my life. I basically have a part-time job or a hobby or passion, whatever you want to refer to it, but I go all around the United States attending air shows, signing copies of my book, and talking to people about the air war over Europe and the 8th Air Force, and I make presentations to all sorts of different organizations trying to keep the memory alive and educate people about the importance and of remembering the sacrifices that those men gave to maintain and preserve the freedoms that we enjoy today.
Well, when we say the greatest generation, we're not kidding.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. So now, do you have kids?
I have three boys.
Okay. How did they respond to the book and the stories?
Oh, well, they love it. They've all been over to Belgium a couple times.
Good.
It's amazing how many locations in the story where the events took place are still there today, and you can go visit where history took place.
That's amazing, because just to be there and know that these things occurred is just incredible.
Yeah, the Belgian people are wonderful people. To this day, they're still so grateful and so thankful for the Allies and the Americans coming to rescue them from 4 years of Nazi occupation and Nazi oppression. And they've erected a number of memorials in the area to commemorate events. Like I mentioned, there's one to my dad and his crew. And they had the big ceremonies are always around September 2nd, which was the day that area of Belgium was liberated by the U.S. armies, and they have these wonderful ceremonies and parties, and all the local villagers that come out, and they're just fantastic events. So I've been to Belgium 6 times, and I can't wait to get back again.
I can imagine. Now, you've got quite a few pictures in the book, too.
Yeah, there's over 200 time period photographs in the book, so you can visualize everything that you're reading about. Many of the pictures are taken by Belgian people during the war in 1944, so they're really unique and one-of-a-kind pictures.
Mm. Do you have pictures of your dad's plane?
No, I don't have any pictures of my dad's plane, unfortunately. He got a brand-new B-17 right before his last couple missions, and so that, once everyone bailed out, the plane came down by itself and crashed.
It.
And then the Germans just used it for scrap metal because they were low on resources at that time during the war.
So, you know, it's an amazing story. You go back to these men and women, too, because, I mean, the women were doing the job that they needed to do. As a matter of fact, they were training some of the men that were going over.
That's true.
And we hear, finally, some stories about that, you know, 70 years later. It's just an amazing story of the courage and the fortitude and the honor. I mean, they were honored to do what they did. And they never considered themselves heroes. They felt the heroes didn't come back, that they were not heroes. Isn't that amazing?
Exactly. Yeah, that's why a lot of them didn't talk about it. They just said, you know what, we had a job to do. We went over there, did our job, and we came back home and got on with our lives.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. What did you learn from, you know, doing the story and doing the research and talking to your dad? I mean, how did it affect you?
Well, I just got a much deeper appreciation for the courage, as you said, the sacrifice and the bravery of, you know, my dad, his crew, all the men who fought in the Air Force, all the men who served, you know, during World War II. I mean, they gave their
lives.
They gave their lives. You know, a lot of them paid the ultimate price.
Yeah.
But they believed in their cause, and they were willing to fight and die for their cause. I just got such an appreciation for, you know, what they did for this country and for really the world to save it from tyranny.
Did you know your dad, or did your dad know that you were writing the book?
No. As I said, he died in 2007, and I didn't decide to write the book until 2012.
Oh, okay.
It took me 4.5 years from the time I started my research to the time I published the book. But unfortunately, yeah, it would have been absolutely wonderful if, you know, he was still living when the book came out. It would have been wonderful for him to meet him and Hans Berger to meet.
Oh, yeah. That would have been wild.
Unfortunately, it didn't happen until after.
Hey, are you kidding? He still knows. He knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's going, hey, Steve, good job. telling the story.
We'll talk about it when I get up to heaven.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, we need more of these stories, more stories of people who sacrifice everything, their lives, their families, everything, to do a job. And I think we need more inspiration like that these days.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the World War II is fading in people's memory, and I do my best to not let that happen. The younger generations just really don't have an appreciation for what it took for them to have all the freedoms that they take for granted today.
You bet. You bet. And, you know, with the technology that we have now, they don't understand. They didn't have the technology back then. You know, they didn't have computers, and they didn't have cell phones and all that stuff. They were doing this by the seat of their pants.
Absolutely. You know, these guys were just, you know, as the term is, citizen soldiers. You know, back then, the U.S. was a very rural country, unlike today,
yeah.
That, you know, everyone is, you know, most people live in big cities. You know, a lot of these guys are just, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, living on in farms, and a lot of these guys have never been out of their home county, and all of a sudden they're halfway around the world, you know, fighting a war.
Yeah. Well, they were kids. These were kids fighting a war.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, do you have a website by any chance?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of information on my website. It's just not about my book, but there's lots of information about World War II and the 8th Air Force, and videos of veterans talking, and links to research sites. But my website is Steve Snyder, Snyder, author.com. Steve Snyder, author.com.
Fabulous.
And if somebody wants to buy an autographed book, they can go on my website and get an autograph book. Most people get it on Amazon.
It is available every place, right? Shut down.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. An extraordinary story. You should be extraordinarily proud of your dad.
Well, it was a privilege and an honor to write not only about my dad, but his crew and all the men who fought in the 8th Air Force.
Fantastic. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. It's a special day, and you made it even more special.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It is our duty to remember.
Take care now. Stay well.